When life deals one cruel blow after another, and you can't see any silver lining behind the dark clouds, that's when we most need to fall before God in humble worship. That's when we learn to worship Him for who He is, rather than for what we expect Him to be. Have you been through a dark time in your life? Maybe you're there right now. Today's message is for you. Stephen Davey continues through Job with this lesson called No Silver Lining in Sight.
I believe the most difficult tests in life are those unexpected tests that arrive without any warning. And you might be facing one of those today. One of the surprising truths we've already discovered in the life of Job, who, by the way, of course, is about to experience unexpected, surprising, severe suffering, is this truth. His godly life did not protect him from suffering. It invited suffering. Now, some people might say, yeah, but this cloud of suffering has this big, huge silver lining. I've read the last chapter and Job has 10 more children and everything turns out wonderfully. Well, let me encourage you not to run to the end of the book just yet. And remember, even though Job will have more children in the future, he's not going to get back the children he's about to lose. You see, Job doesn't know what's ahead of him. In fact, he doesn't even know about this conversation in heaven where Satan has accused God of essentially bribing Job with good things in life to get Job to worship him in return. Job doesn't know what we know, that God has allowed this cloud of suffering to move in, this storm, to give all of us throughout human history here an example of how to handle the storms of life. Well, here comes the storm clouds in chapter 1 and verse 14. There came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Evidently bandits from southern Arabia came and stole his livestock and killed all his field hands." Before Job even has a chance to ask a question, verse 16 reports, "While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Now, this must have been an incredible firestorm because it trapped and killed all 7,000 sheep and all the shepherds who worked for Job. Before Job can even catch his breath, a third messenger runs up and says here in verse 17, "The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." These fierce warriors from northern Mesopotamia evidently swept down unexpectedly and stole 3,000 camels and killed anything else that breathed. Only this one messenger made it out alive. So Job is now effectively lost his businesses, his fortune, his workforce, and if he's tempted to think for just a moment that at least he still has his family, the fourth and final messenger races up, no doubt weeping, and says here in verse 18, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Now, this seems to be that annual birthday gathering where the kids came together to celebrate, as we mentioned back in verse 4. You've got this powerful wind, possibly a tornado. It just sort of appears out of nowhere and seems to target this particular house, and it collapses. "Job," the messenger says, "all 10 of your children are dead." It's as if all the forces of heaven and earth have conspired against this godly man. By the way, there's no reassuring voice speaking from heaven saying something like, hey, take heart, Job, Satan's testing your faith, you know, stand strong. No, the heavens are going to remain silent for a very long time. Maybe right now you're tasting this kind of suffering. Maybe you're like the woman whose husband left her for a younger woman. She had two children she would now raise on her own. Then about the time the courts refused to give her adequate alimony, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had to move in with her elderly parents into their little two-bedroom home with limited income and failing health. She was the faithful believer. She was the one who walked with God. There was no voice. There's no silver lining that she can see around her cloud either. Maybe that's you today. Well, according to this narrative, each of these messengers interrupted each other as they delivered this heartbreaking news. I pulled out a stopwatch and I read these four messages at about the same pace Job heard them, and it took me 39 seconds to read through them all. That's how long it took. In 39 seconds, Job's life is changed forever. In 39 seconds, he learned that he had lost everything. Now, because we've been given the inside story of the conversation between Satan and God, we can be sure Satan and his demons right now are hovering over this scene. They're waiting. They're just wishing for a word of blasphemy from Job. Just one little word. Now, it might have been immediate. It might have been several hours. But the next verse, verse 20, tells us what happened next. First, Job arose and he tore his robe. This is that outer tunic or garment. And tearing it downward as they did indicated that someone's heart was broken. Then we're told here he shaved his head. This was the custom of expressing a loss of personal honor, to be completely devastated, to be completely humbled by circumstances. Well, now, Satan hopes, now is the moment when Job is going to raise his fist toward heaven and curse his silent, evidently uncaring God. Oh, but verse 20 says, he fell on the ground and worshiped. He prostrated himself here and began to worship God. Now, if you're like me, you'd want some answers, some explanations before you'd start worshiping God. Well, not Job. In fact, his response provides us with at least two rather convicting lessons here about suffering. First, unexpected trials remind us of what really matters in life. Job says here in verse 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." See, you're born without anything in your little hands, and at death, your hands are empty again. And suffering has a way of separating the temporary from the eternal. When things are going well and our hands are full, we tend to lose that godly focus. As one author noted, after a hurricane, you know, nobody goes running down the street in the neighborhood crying that his cordless drill is missing or his golf clubs have been washed away in some flood. No. Suffering has a way of prying our fingers off stuff we love that's temporary. The second lesson is this. Unexpected suffering reminds us that everything we have is on loan from God. Job says here at the end of verse 21, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22 wraps up by saying, "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Now, let me tell you something. I like to think that the only sound of cursing in the universe on this day was from the lips of Satan, who had totally entirely failed. And as Job lies here in the dust, he is saying with great wisdom, the Lord gave me everything I had. It belonged to him already, and he's chosen to take it away. Beloved, it isn't necessary to understand God's plans before we bow in his presence. Some time ago, I was handed a poem which I included in my message at the funeral of a little 4-year-old girl. This family's testimony was like Job's. They trusted God's promises even though they had no explanations. The poem goes like this. My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all, in him. He maketh no mistake. Well, let's pin our faith and our trust in him, just like that, today. Well, until our next stop on this wisdom journey, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Whether you can relate to Job or not, this lesson is important because sooner or later, we all face hard times in life. We all need to know what to do when there's no silver lining in sight. Stephen has a free resource for you called A Quick and Easy Guide to Understanding the Bible. We send it to anyone who asks. Visit wisdomonline.org/guide to download your copy. Then join us next time as we continue along the wisdom journey.